wrapping up the previous games and looking forward to the ones to come. This is Preps Rewind, presented by Gould Parts in downtown Eaton, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Clark Johnson.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome to the Preps Rewind right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Our show, as always, brought to you by Gould Parts in downtown Eaton. Thank the Tatanka Grill as well on the program today. And that's right, folks. We are 6 days away from opening night. High school football will be in Ault, Highland, and Wiggins. Should be a ton of fun. On the program today, Ben Fusco, the head football coach out at Day Spring Christian High School. He'll join us. Troy Hoffman, they coach together out in Kersey. Troy, of course, the head football coach at Platte Valley High School. And Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan, all on the program on this Saturday. Don't forget, 13 days, 13 teams winds up next week. Fossil Ridge, Fort Collins, and Res Christian coming down the home stretch. When we come back, Ben Fusco, Day Spring Christian head coach. We're back in a moment on Preps Rewind, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. A gorgeous Saturday here in Northern Colorado, coming to you from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm Clark Johnson. Thanks for jumping in with us. Preps Rewind. Boy, we go in earnest next Saturday after the first Friday Night Lights. So scoreboard show next Saturday. First half of the program, we'll have highlights and, of course, coach interviews as well. We're going to get some player interviews on Saturdays, too, if we can. So should be fun going forward. Cannot wait. We caught up with Ben Fusco. Yesterday on Clark and the Coach, talked with the Day Spring Christian head coach. Their defense is back in full. They got to get through the fact that they don't have Christian Still anymore, but Garrett Crable and company, they should have a terrific year. We'll have them on the broadcast schedule against Sanford in their first home game of the year. All right, here's Ben Fusco. Ben, how are you?
Clark, I'm awesome.
You are awesome, man, and I love it because I'm so excited for today, and it's not for football.
That's right.
It's for food, baby. You're a foodie. You're a chef. You've got your own YouTube channel. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. We're going to talk DCA football first to begin this thing. Want to thank Quality Well and Pump, great sponsor on the program, 353-3118. Anything you need, Christy, Skip, and the gang will help you out. If it has to do with water, Quality Well and Pump is your answer. Quality Well and Pump, they've got the Zomatic, they've come out with a new control panel, so the touchscreen panel is there for you. Call for inquiries about Zomatic's new panels. Call them at 353-3118. Water well drilling anytime during the year. Household water well pumping systems, they've got it all for you. It is Quality Well and Pump. All right, Ben, let's talk about this. High school sports, man, I love it, but it's sometimes it's a little bittersweet. You got to say goodbye to some of the best athletes you've ever seen. And this year for you, it's one of those guys, Christian Still, who had an unbelievable career at Day Spring Christian, basketball, football, multi-sport athlete. He's on to the next level, but boy, what a fun run with him, right?
Absolutely. I think in probably, like, I think cumulatively 15 years of coaching, so a lot of quarterbacks.
Sure, sure.
At various schools at all levels. I think Christian is easily at the top of those at all levels. So Christian, I think, would have been a great
just as an all-around athlete.
Correct.
I mean, you bet.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, obviously he's a basketball-first kid. That's where he's going to do – what's what he's going to do in college. He's going to go to Western and play basketball. He played club ball all through football, so we were even blessed to have him.
Sure, of course. Those.
And he's just a competitor and just loves the game, and we're going to miss him tremendously for sure.
No doubt, but things are bright at DCA. There's no doubt about it. I mean, everybody's coming back basically on defense. He's the only one of the eight starters you lose, right?
Correct.
So that's we'll visit defense and talk about those guys. But offense for you, I immediately said, okay, go back. Was it Christian's sophomore year when he got injured?
Well, each year he had.
Well, he injuries. Has had. Yeah.
So a concussion his sophomore year. Concussions.
When did the leg go?
That was before.
That was before.
No, that was sophomore year.
Okay, was sophomore.
So, but he had concussion stuff one per year, sophomore, junior year.
Right.
So I think junior year was when we went to the semis, right?
That's right.
And we lost him in the Vail Christian game, the preliminaries, right? And so then we lost him for the semis against Sedgwick.
Right.
That would have put us in the
That was the one thing about Christian is he was kind of slight.
Yeah.
He looked like he didn't – I'm surprised that he would take a hit and keep on ticking. Yeah. He did for the most part.
Yeah, but, he wasn't an inside runner for sure.
Sure.
We designed it that way. He, 6 foot four-ish by the time he graduated. Mm-hmm. But he filled his frame junior into senior year. I think he was 180. So lifted a lot primarily for basketball but became truly a quarterback. Where younger, he was just this really fast kind of beanpole quarterback.
But
probably one of the fastest releases in throwing the football, so our kind of quick stuff, And if you go back to, even last year's statistical game against, Sedgwick, I think we ran the ball three times, honestly, in that game. And he had 340 yards in the air.
Yep.
You'll talk to Michaels and those guys, and we'll talk about, they called him the ghost because they would get him in a sack, and he just slipped through their hands. And he was the one kid. So, yeah, just a big hole that we're going to have to figure out how to fill.
However, you look at that and you go, every time that he was down, even as a sophomore, that was a pretty good run of games. Mm-hmm. Garrett Crable came in as a freshman. Mm-hmm. I thought Garrett was terrific.
Correct.
I thought, when Christian comes back, obviously he's going to get the job back, but it wasn't. I mean, you look at what Garrett did, and you were like, okay, they could keep going with him, too.
Right.
So usually when you have a quarterback that runs his career as a starter, you turn it over to somebody that's got no experience. That's not the situation with Garrett Crable.
No, yeah, and the way we design our offenses, our skills kind of know everything. They kind of have to understand that. So Garrett was always geared to be a quarterback, too. He played it his whole life, too. And we never had the issue of the competitive two kids vying for it. Garrett and Christian were always what's the best. So sophomore year, Christian would go in as a receiver and Garrett would take the ball. Christian has, I think, three receiving touchdowns in the Sedgwick game. His junior year, he catches one.
Wow.
The Caliche game, he catches one. Garrett's throwing these. So for us, Garrett's just a different build. He's Tim Tebow. And so where Christian was slighter, Garrett's thicker. And Garrett works hard and Garrett lifts. Garrett Crable is 24/7 football kid. I mean, he plays basketball, but he's a linebacker on the court.
There's no doubt.
So we're going to have a different set with him, but full comfort, no issues. There's no real learning curve for him.
Sure.
He just steps right into the spot.
He's a monster on both sides of the field.
Yes.
At the next level, is he an offensive player or a defensive player?
He's probably an offensive player.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he thinks a little bit more that way, but he's an all-around football player. He brings the swag that you want on the field that every team sort of needs from an energy standpoint.
And sure.
So I'm really excited about what he's going to be able to bring to the table. There's a ton of expectation. So, everybody tells you that, right? The parents, the kids, and whatever. So
sure.
A lot of it is kind of bursting the bubble of just being who we are week in and week out, trying to figure that out.
So if Garrett's a quarterback, what does it look like in the backfield and your wideouts? And then we'll get to the offensive line. But I'm figuring Wyatt Eichmann maybe is going to get some touches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So Wyatt rotated last year with Garrett at tail. We try to rotate kids through. So, I'm not really sure the system. We don't have the traditional standout one kid in the backfield. Mm-hmm. We never have. We're just kind of an all-over-the-place offense.
Sure.
But we have multiple kids. I've got the Eichmann kid. Jacob Martin can come in.
Sure.
There's a young kid. Zach Freeman could come in. All of these kids are taking reps. Caleb Kale, this young sophomore, coming in. I have a son, a sophomore, too, Elijah. All these kids are kind of vying for some time to try to figure out who's going to be the kid. And so it's actually I say first world problems, right? When I've got multiple kids, it's kind of like, okay, how to find instead
of something. Those are good problems.
Scrambling to find a kid, we're in an opposite position where any one of those kids can rhythmically go in and become a running back for us. So lots of skills on the field. I think that's where we stand out on the offensive side is our receiving corps is the best it's actually been.
Great skilled positions.
Great skilled positions.
Yeah, that's great. What about the offensive line? I mean, they got to make it work up front.
They do. Yeah, so all three returners. COVID messed everybody up for sure. So, my oldest is kind of anchors our O-line.
Yeah, we'll talk about your kids in a sec because that's an interesting dynamic with you, their dad, coaching them. So, we'll talk
about that.
That's
a whole other thing. But Ethan Bonnell will snap the ball for us too, and then we return Cody DeHarsh for our interior three and eight man. And then, I've got two tight end type lineman body kids that'll rotate through. We got, you know, a big kid, you know, Jackson Stewart.
Sure.
He'll be on the field for us, like 6'5", you know, big kid. And then we've got Landon Bonnell, another one of the Bonnell brothers.
The Bonnells, boy, oh boy.
That's right. That's right. So Landon will be a junior for us, and he'll help anchor and rotate the single spot when there's one or there's kind of two tight end opportunities, which is more of a run set and eight
sure.
man, but they kind of give us that tackle position or that tight end position. So, yeah, like I said, it's sort of first world problems, trying to put it in the right spot and not overwhelm them, keep it simple.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So talk about this. I mean, your dad, your kids are, I think it's the greatest thing in the world. I love to watch my kids, a baseball player at Rocky Mountain. I love to watch my kids do something that they're passionate about mm-hmm. and that I know they're in their happy place.
You bet.
And growing up, I was their coach sometimes. I was able to put it to bed and not bring it home with me. So now you get the chance with Talon. Talon's going to be a senior this year, right?
Correct.
And Eli's going to be a sophomore?
Correct.
All right, so you got two kids in the mix right there. Is it different for you? Do they come to you and say, hey, Dad, you back off a little bit? Or, I mean, are you tougher on your kids than the other players?
Yeah.
Or on the field, are they simply players?
Yeah, I think we're at a place where they are players. You know, coaching in my tenure, I've seen it done. So Troy Hoffman and I mm-hmm. are really good friends, mm-hmm. watching him coach, and Coach Matthew,
yep.
watching him and Coach Michael, his oldest.
Sure.
Dan Gehring out there, and Brandon and his two boys, and Brandon and Clint now coaches for them too. So watching them do it well, it was really helpful and pivotal for me, because there's always the tension of dad as coach
sure.
and the perspectives and perceptions yep. from the outside.
So that's something you got to think about.
Absolutely.
What are people is he getting an advantage? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
all that stuff.
So accountability helps that. So talking
sure.
with the other coaches,
sure.
they keep me in line. They make sure that I'm trying not to push too much bias. But, yeah, I push them harder. Like, there's higher expectations
sure.
as the dad. And we get home and, you know, they're foodies, man. So
I love this.
If I give my kids meals, they're happy. So – as much as I've been grumpy, like, here's a Philly cheesesteak, here's some chicken wings, be happy.
That's right.
And usually it works out. So I love it, man. I'm going to miss Talon for sure.
But, sure.
Yeah.
All right. You just brought up other coaches, too. You talked about Troy Hoffman and Dan Gehring in Kersey, kind of where you, I'm going to say, started. But
yeah.
give me your background, and then who are the coaches your phone of friends?
I mean,
where do you go when you want to talk to another coach and get some ideas?
So I love collaboration. I think it's
sure.
central to being a good coach. Being at Central, you know, I graduated from Central in the late 90s.
Jeff
Priestley is my head coach. Yep. So he's now back with the Cats, and we've talked. I kind of do some quarterback stuff in the offseason with other kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had the Kersey kids to us. We've had the Highland kids to us. Jeff and I work together if he wants to bring his quarterbacks with us. We try to work with all those kids if they want. So, yeah, I'm real good friends with Troy and Dan. So Troy and I go way back. Troy watched me play in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, back when I was at Central.
I'll have to remind him of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He'll tell you he was on the sideline of that 97 state championship game against Wheat Ridge. So, you know, he's probably my first set of contact. And the second is probably Jeremy Hayden at Northridge. Jeremy and I went to Central together. We played on that team. So Troy was watching both of us. Jeremy, when he was at UNC, was really pivotal in my learning curve. So as I jumped from Platte Valley, Greeley West for that 1 year with Jason
sure.
Renoff, and then left, went back to Kersey, and then it was three more years there, then went to Greeley Central for a year,
right.
and then went to Dayspring. So I've kind of bounced all over. Those are the guys that I'm still in contact with.
So
and collaborate.
You played for Priestley in the runner-up year?
I did. Yeah, I was a senior.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I've been talking to Jeff the other day,
yeah.
and I'm like, you know, that we're going back some time there. So that's cool. What a small world. And
it
then
is.
You brought up Jason Renoff.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think one of the coolest guys out here,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jason was – okay, so – Greeley is the biggest small town.
Yes,
and
it
I've
is.
Been here forever, and I love this town. I love this community. It's kind of why what I want to do is affect this town better and change it and make it a great place. So, you know, Jason Renoff was on as like he was a special eds teacher at Central when I was there too with Jeremy Hayden. So they're good friends
sure,
and all that stuff. So
sure.
it's this kind of small community of coaches.
Yeah.
So Gary Luster and I, Jeff Fulton.
Just
and
saw Gary Luster. I walked out to practice Lane Wassinger's Roosevelt Rough Riders
yeah.
the other day. And I'm looking down on the field and I'm thinking, okay, and Gary's in good shape. I look at him and I'm going, that looks like Gary Luster, but they can't
is
be.
He with,
I
would have heard.
He's a volunteer coach
that's
at Roosevelt.
So cool, man.
He just walked on with him.
That's so
yeah.
cool. That is awesome.
Talk about having. I mean, that's
yeah.
Gary. He was at Central and tough times. I get that.
For sure.
But boy, if I've got a kid and I want a mentor as a coach. Gary Luster is one of the guys I'm going to go to.
Yeah, and you'll hear that from the kids. So
sure.
I had the privilege of being with him for 1 year, you know, as on the offensive side of the ball. So we had, you know, these kids like Rudy Escamilla.
Escamilla, he could throw.
Man, that kid.
He had a cannon. He did.
Yeah. In fact, Rudy actually got approached postseason from Western.
Did he really?
Season.
Yeah.
And I think, maybe some grades and life stuff and didn't end up going that way. But
when your team's 2-7 or whatever.
And it's hard to be found.
And I get that. It is hard to be found.
You
but
bet.
Boy, when I saw that kid throw and I was down on the field with him,
we had three games that year that we were 400 plus yards of total offense. Yep.
All right, there is Ben Fusco, the head football coach at Dayspring Christian Academy, and we had them on 13 Days, 13 Teams yesterday, so that was fun. All right, let's thank again Gould Parts, downtown Eaton, right off of Collins Street, Highway 85 right there. Look for the Napa sign on the front. They've been with us for forever. I think they're going on 9 years with us now here at Preps Radio. So thank you to Alan and Marie and Vic, the whole gang out there. It is Gould Parts, any part you need, big car part, machine part, truck part, they'll get it for you. 454-3355. Stick that number up on the fridge. We'll come back in a moment. Troy Hoffman, the head football coach out at Platte Valley High School, joined us on Tuesday. We'll catch up with Troy when we come back right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA. All righty, welcome back. Auto Collision Specialist Studios on a fabulous Saturday here in northern Colorado. Get outside today. I don't think it's a million degrees, something less than that. We had Troy Hoffman in on Tuesday and Clark and a coach and talked with the football coach out at Platte Valley High School. That's somebody who's got their bullseye on their back every year. I mean, always in the top. Will it be Sterling and Platte Valley in the Patriot League East again this year? We'll find out. Caught up with Troy, though. Always fun to talk to the man. He and Ben Fusco can talk forever. So here's Troy's half of that argument. How are things going as we kind of creep up here to the start of the season? You guys get Strasburg to open things up, and some people will say, oh, isn't that a step down? That team should be 2A, as you said, and they could play with anybody.
Yeah,
that's,
they did.
That's a great program.
They picked us because they want a good opener as well, and
sure,
we knew that would be a quality opponent. They could compete in 2A, but their numbers have them where they're at, and they enjoy that, and they've had a lot of success the last 5 years. What, five state title opportunities in those 5 years and won two of them, I believe, something
absolutely
like that. So
yep,
they've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good things happening. They just continue to turn them out. And so, yeah, that's going to be a tough test for us when we open up on the 27th.
Tough always, I say. How do small schools like that just continue to turn out great athletes? It would seem like if the pool's smaller like that, it's going to be a tougher go. I mean, you guys, you're a little bit bigger than they are as far as a number of students and everything, but it's the same thing at your school. Every single year, you guys seem to be, you know, one of the, if you're going to look at the at a division that you're in, first or second almost every year.
I would say consistency has helped us a lot with that success.
Is that staff?
Staff, Dan Gehring and I have been together since 2002. You know, and we've kept the core. But what we do is the philosophy is very much the same as when we started. We have to tweak it for athletes like any coaches do. But really what we're doing has been built since basically 2002 when we started. And then when I came on as a head coach at 2010, you know, we've made the playoffs since 06.
That's right.
That's an awesome run. Not a lot of high schools continue to do that. A lot of schools drop out. Ken Denver was one there for years and years. They were in there every year.
Yep.
And then they go through cycles. We may hit that. But I think what we do is our teaching is about the same, so the kids understand it. So we're able to just keep driving home those technique things, those individual things, and then the team thing comes around.
Yeah, no doubt. How much of what you do with the kids at this time is mental, too? I mean, you're going through all the physical things to get ready for the season, too, but they've got to be in the right frame of mind. They've got to be buying in. They've got to not be thinking too much about their positions. You're talking about Devin Lauer, who's taken over at quarterback. You just want to keep him – you don't want him to have a chance to be overwhelmed right now, because that's a big responsibility, moving to quarterback of this team.
I think if you were to ask – any head coach, and we'll ask Scott how he feels about it, but I'd love for Devin to have another a year of experience under his belt, so sure. to speak, as that starting quarterback. But what he has is 3 years of varsity experience. So we're going to try and make that so that he takes that, and then we're going to simplify some things early for him as a quarterback. We have to make sure that he doesn't have to think too much. It's going to be maybe read one, read two, run, Devin, run. You sure. know, we're going to try and make sure that the other people around him are really set and understand what their roles for certain things, because the tools that he has are different.
Sure.
You know, he's similar, I guess, if he would have the experience as what Cade and Trevin had, because he has speed and knowledge, but really doesn't have the experience of throwing the ball. And so we're working hard on that.
Now, 7-on-7s in the summer? I mean, was he able to get out and at least throw the ball?
Oh, yeah. We went out to Northridge. It was great to see Jeremy set that up again for all of us locals around here. So we hit three of those. We hit three right in July. He started them in June. But, you know, you saw Devin. He was down winning medals at the state track this year. So, and so was Weston. Weston was down there competing as well. So a lot of our key kids, but we hit three of them, so he's had exposure to that. But a lot of what we do, we just find time for repetition and practice. You know, you were talking about the mental part.
Sure.
You got to be sharp, and something I learned a long time ago, you don't add something unless you know it. And once you add something, sometimes you got to bring something out. So we're in the process now of making sure some of those basic things are really driven home hard.
Dan Gehring's your offensive coordinator again. How long has he been with you now?
We started together as assistant coaches in 02.
You did. He's been there the whole time with you.
And Coach DeWall kind of split up assignments for both of us about 05. I took on the defense 100% of the time, and then Dan just stayed on the offense, and him and Mike kind of worked together. And so Dan's been really calling offenses since 05, 04, somewhere right around in there.
Do you remember the 06 season?
Oh, almost every game.
It was my first championship game I ever called.
Yeah, and you talked about that on the air the other day, you know.
Boy, I mean, talk about getting so excited for something and then just having the rug pulled out from under you. It was 21-0 before you could breathe against Faith. Little did we know the next year you'd go against Platte Canyon and take home the gold.
I was so excited I had my hair dyed blonde for that, because the kids bet me that we wouldn't get there. But, you know, we were overmatched, I think, physically, when you go back and look at it. But the game got away from us early. We went away from what we've done all year. We tried to trick play first, and that didn't work. And, you know, the next thing, it just snowballs. So we learned from that. And the theme was unfinished business. And then in 07, we were able to get back there and take care of stuff.
Being in that spot, though, that experience, I mean, that is irreplaceable,
yes,
I would think. Getting into that spot without that experience, that's a hard deal, because most of the teams that you're going to get there against have been there before. You were just saying, I think that's the year you guys started hitting the playoffs.
Correct.
And you went to the championship that year. So, I mean, that's a great run for you guys there, but it's learning how to deal with everything that goes into a big day like that.
You know, I'm always, I admire when schools continue to have success because of what we have to ask kids to learn and be a part of. Clark, youth today, a lot of things they take for granted. So,
sure.
Platte Valley kids, we are certain to make sure they understand, don't take it for granted. You must be humble. You know, we're sitting at 348. It's the lowest enrollment numbers for 2A. We're going to be playing schools, I hope, in November that are twice as big as us. You never back down from those challenges, but don't just assume because you've been there before you will get it again.
Sure.
You know, what was it? 2016, right? You know, that was a struggle that year. We were so close and we lost games by one score.
Yep.
But those kind of things we have to grow on. I think we continue to do a good job as staff, and right now this group here is really recognizing the fact that we got work to do to get back to where we want to be.
Long time as a coach, 2007 champions, you were still an assistant under Michael DeWall there. 2013 against Faith Christian, you guys roll at home.
Yep.
28-19, if my memory serves in that one. How cool is that? How cool is it to win a state championship? I mean, that's what everybody wants to do. I get that, but so few have a chance to do it.
Correct. And when you talk about the emotions of it, that second one.
I can't imagine.
Well, and the thing is it was my first as a head coach.
Sure.
But ultimately, you know, that was our second. It felt like it was the first time we'd ever been to the playoffs.
Sure.
Just that opportunity to be in there, because these kids, many of them saw all those things earlier when they were in Cougars and watching the 07. So they get there, and, you know, even though there are some different philosophies from some of our youth today and social media, they all still yearn for being at the top of that podium in one way or another.
You bet. You guys open on the 27th. I'm sorry, the 27th against Strasburg. That's
yes,
correct.
Yes, sir.
So Strasburg at home, Severance at home. That's going to be a big one. Severance on a Thursday night, and then Eton at home. So like where you start, because you have three home games right there. That's kind of nice. And playing at the facility you play at, it's awesome. It's my favorite place to go call a game.
Thank you.
I mean, the field is always awesome. The crowd always comes out and supports. It's one of the things I love. And I'll say this honestly, more than going to 5A schools, I love going to little smaller schools because the support always seems to be there.
We are blessed in the community and the families, and I'm in that. I've been there, and I've voted for everything. I have this soft spot for schools, teachers, and the whole works. But what our leaders did to get that complex the way it is and the way it's set up with the bleachers and how they come down. But the scoreboard, you know, Kramer's, Revelation Steel,
yep.
And PDC, they stepped up so much because when you see that, you can see it from the highway, you know, and the environment is there. You still have the backdrop in the east, you know, with the sun, with the moon coming up so much. And I don't know. I've been very blessed to be in Platte Valley, and we're glad you love coming out there because it is beautiful.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the view from where you sit in that press box is fantastic. It also helps that you're almost always playing for a title. So, I mean, that kind of helps getting out there. You just said you're a Bronco guy.
Yes.
Bridgewater or Drew Lock? Who's going to get the start, do you think?
I go with Drew Lock.
I would. You think you've seen enough from Drew Lock that you'd still kind of hang in there with him right now? Would you be better with Drew Lock if Aaron Rodgers had come along and he could sit behind a player like that for a year or two, or do you think that cat's out of the bag?
No, I actually, if that had happened, I think Drew Lock actually has a mentality and he has the personality that he would have adjusted to that. I think he sees that. But what I like when I see Drew Lock is what so many other teams do. You know, he can run.
Sure.
And I just think you need to get a system that fits. Maybe at the pro level it's different. They force their system on the athletes, whereas in high school, I'm adjusting to Devin this year. I adjusted to Decade for 2 years. Before that, I had Trevin Wehrman, who, I mean, he could dissect a pass defense, you know, in a heartbeat, so to speak. But each time we adjust to the athlete skills, I think they force some of this stuff. And I think had they stayed with a few things, you don't know. But I like what I see. I've watched TV like you. I haven't seen anything live. I missed the game on Saturday because I was we were scrimmaging out at Ray. But I'm going to take a peek this week. I love Bridgewater, but sometimes just that slow and steady stuff in the NFL, you get left behind.
Plus, I always wonder about his ability to stay in the game. Seems to get hurt a bunch. So I always wonder, boy, could he – I mean, if he was your starter, could he get there? Or is he in a better role coming off the bench? So we'll see. Bronco defense looks like they're going to be pretty tight, though.
Yes, they do. It was fun to watch all those additions that got added in the free agency and then some of the ones they picked up. Of course, Matthew's a big Ohio State fan, so we had to hear about the linebacker. And, you know, Jones, the D-tackle, of course, he's all over that. But I mean, both those are going to be pivotal for them this year.
Yeah, when you say Matthew, that's your son, Matthew Hoffman.
Yes.
Played at Mesa, right?
Yep, just graduated.
Just graduated. How cool is that to have him kind of back in the fold with you?
And
did you guys talk about him being a coach with you ever, or is this just worked out where it's the perfect time for him to get out here and have time to help you out?
I will tell you, he was studying engineering, but he had such a close relationship with a college coach of his, Coach Mac Alexander, who went through the GA process, went through an assistant coach, and has stepped up and done certain things.
Sure.
I honestly felt a little bit that Matthew may want to venture into that. He may want to stay on and coach because he was always a coach for me on the field.
Sure.
When you watched him at Mesa, he would literally put players that he was out there in those game situations. He was moving kids around then. So I knew the cerebral part was there and the physicality and everything. But when he got the opportunity and the job opened up for him and he found a place close here and he's living in Greeley on his own and stuff, and I said, well, you know, I do have an opening. You know, what are your thoughts? And so it worked out. He talked to his boss, and he's come out, and he was official by the board just last week. So he's joining us and getting ready, and the DBs are loving it.
Did I hear he's going to – his roommate's Cameron Maxey?
Yes, so –
okay, and I'll go back again. What year was it where you guys
2013.
Is that when you went to Manitou?
I heard you talk about it on the radio.
It gives me goosebumps. I mean, you see a hit like what Cameron Maxey put on their, I don't know if it was their wide receiver or running, it was one of their studs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he just, he flattened a guy enough where I was worried about the health of that player. Is he going to get up?
I think they changed the rules in high school football after watching what Cameron did. did. That was on a punt return, and the kid actually had plenty of time to adjust, and he just didn't think Cameron was going to do anything. And all 145 pounds of Cameron at that time, he waylaid him like he was 245.
So they did make a rule change?
No, but it just seems like it all came back to peel back block. All came in there, and I've always teased Cameron that they changed high school rules just because of what he did.
Boy, that was unbelievable. I mean, I'll just it de-cleated the kid, and that kid came back and played in the game. I
was very surprised they put him back in, yes.
All right, there is Troy Hoffman, the head football coach out at Platte Valley High School, and always fun to catch up with him. Boy, you put he and Ben Fusco in a room together, ask him one question, and you can leave for an hour. Man, can those guys talk. They are a host and announcer's dream, no question about it. We'll come back in a moment and wind things up with Kevin Lytle from the Colorado and on the Preps Rewind next Saturday. We've got after Friday Night Lights, Preps Rewind, Saturday morning, scores, highlights, coach interviews, player interviews. We kick it off all next Saturday here on The Rewind, brought to you by Gould Parts. Back in a moment on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA. All right, back here at the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, there's a breaking news story. Michael Kirkpatrick, my great producer here, has never heard the song Beth by Kiss.
I only listen to good music.
That's the best thing they ever did. Just saying. But
they don't do a lot of good music.
Yeah, but that's a classic song. How do you not know that? All right, let's get to it. Kevin Lytle, love Kevin, great writer from the Colorado and all sorts of CSU stuff, and still keeps his hands on the prep stuff. So always talking to Kevin, and caught up and talked to him about Fort Collins teams this year, the football season coming up. Here's the interview with Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan. We've got a big football weekend coming up, and love what you do with CSU stuff, but I got to bend your mind on prep stuff. Pooter going to Mountain Vista. Fossil is at home against Ralston Valley. Rocky's going to be at home also against Arapahoe. You've got Fort Collins and Legacy. Talk to me about all these games. Let's go one at a time. We kick things off on Thursday. 6 o'clock game at French Field. It's going to be Fossil Ridge and Ralston Valley. Boy, that's a big assignment for Jeff Fulton and his company. They went 3-3 last year. What do you see there?
Yeah, I'm really excited to get the season underway. I think we all are kind of a more normal season with fans and student sections and all that jazz that we kind of missed last year. But yeah, Fossil Ralston Valley is a really intriguing game. Ralston Valley tends to be pretty salty, pretty good team. And
sure.
Fossil, they have some guys. The two to watch, Tyler Kubot, the quarterback, and his receiver, Mac Bastide. They kind of go hand in hand. I think they connect on 8 touchdowns in just 5 games or 6 games last year. Bastide is a really long, athletic receiver, great player. And Kubot, is a guy that has that quarterback body, tall, strong arm, all that. And he's played, a pretty decent amount, for his age. So really looking to see if he can take a big step forward this year. So that's a really, really interesting game to me. I think that's a fun week 1 because I think, every year people talk about Fossil is sort of the sleeping giant in football. And you kind of wonder when they might break through. And they certainly have some guys that can make some hay right now.
Always got to talk about guys that graduated, great players. Chris Bauerfeind took most of the handoffs there. And the guy that I loved, Kevin, was watching on defense was Caden Dollar. I thought he was just a get-to-the-ball kind of guy. Fun to watch.
Yeah, you're right. Those are two really, really good players that they're going to miss a lot. Bauerfeind, he's a guy that suffered 2 ACL tears and still came back from them and played really, really well. Great player. Dollar, just really versatile. And then, we can't forget they should have had Trey Zune last year.
That's right.
Who's, one of the best college prospects that was in all of Colorado, but he got hurt, so he couldn't play and ended up, actually, he just went down to Texas A&M early and started going into his workouts there. So, yeah, they had a lot of talent last year, and some of it, wasn't available. So they have to replace some really big pieces.
All right, they've got an early and late one Friday at French Field. Are you going to go to both of those? Are you going to go to any, or are you going to be sidelined with CSU stuff?
Yep, I'm doing the double dip Friday. Sweet. So yeah, I'll have to lather on the sunscreen for that first one. You know, see if I can scrounge some dinner up in between somehow. Right. But no, it's really fun. We haven't had one of those in a while. It's kind of just a weird scheduling quirk that three teams have home games next week, so they have to do something weird. So yeah, Collins is playing afternoon, roughly 4 o'clock, and then Rocky. You know, they put a time on it, but it's basically whenever the field is available.
Yeah.
So that should be a really fun double dip because both those teams, I think, are really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Collins, I was out at their practice the other day, and they have skill guys just flowing everywhere. I mean, they, you know, we've kind of joked before about doing high school trades. You know, they'd have people calling them saying, hey, we need one of your little slot receivers.
No doubt. Yep.
You know, that we've talked Dante Johnson and Dorian McGarity.
Forever.
The two guys going to CSU.
Yep.
Blake Smotherman, really good tight end, I think is going to go to School of Mines, I believe. They've certainly offered him. They have multiple good running backs. They have Andrew Cease back at quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's a really tough guy. They really like him. You know, they're hoping to keep that pass game going, but you know, their big question is the O-line. They have to replace four starters, so they're kind of aware that they may have to be getting the ball out quickly, but they're a really intriguing team with all those skill guys.
Kevin, let me ask you this. They played in the spring. Advantage, yep. Disadvantage for a team that plays in the spring and then has to come back and kick it off right away. I've heard some coaches that played in the spring gave their kids the summer off so they could come back fresh and ready to go. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Clark, can you ask me in 10 weeks?
Yes,
I'll tell you.
That's exactly
but
right.
No, it's a great question. I think it probably depends a little bit on the team. For Fort Collins, I think it's a good thing because they didn't have a ton of seniors, so most of the guys that played in the spring are back this year. You know, they're kind of a rebuilding program, and so just the vibe of getting some wins and all that, I think it's good for them. I can see why it wouldn't be good for everyone. They also, most importantly, they stayed pretty healthy. Obviously, the health factor would be a big question if you had some injuries to recover from. So, you know, I was talking to them, and they're not sure. You know, they even said, yeah, you know, it wasn't the most real season ever, but hey, we had some fun. The kids got to play, so we feel pretty good. But yeah, it's hard to say for sure. But my personal take is that for Fort Collins, at least, it was a good thing.
All right. Then we talk about Mark Brook and Rocky Mountain. Mark's been at Rocky forever. His son, Gage, is going to be the quarterback again. I think he's a lefty, if I remember. They have to say bye-bye to Sean Kidd, who was huge on their offense. Mm-hmm. But, boy, does it seem to you, Kevin, like Rocky's kind of moving towards the top of the group there again?
Yep, Rocky, kind of likewise. I think they could be primed for a pretty solid year. As you said, Gage, you know, Mark Brook, if you asked him, he probably wouldn't mention Gage because he's the type of guy who wouldn't want to shine the light on his own family. But Gage is a really good player. Big, again, similar to Kubot, you know, tall, strong kid, big arm. He looked pretty polished last year considering how young he was. So, yeah, Kidd, losing Sean Kidd, great running back. That's big. But Rocky tends to find running back.
Sure.
And part of that's because their O-line is always so good. They're just tough. You know, every year, you know, playing Rocky, they're just going to be tough and hard to play against. And I think that's true. And they have the best college prospect in the city on the team, and Ethan Thomason.
He is a large human being, man.
Yep, yeah.
Yep.
You know, he already has a half dozen Power 5 offers, so he's going to be he's only a junior, so he's really going to be shooting up the recruiting boards. And having an anchor like that on your O-line, that's sure useful.
Yeah, Ethan came in the studio a few weeks back, and I thought, my goodness gracious, that's a large, and I don't mean, that's a lot of muscle, folks. I mean, he is built like a you-know-what.
Yeah, and he's posted some videos on Twitter of him dunking basketball.
Oh, my God, what an athlete.
He's one of those guys, like you say, good athlete. You know, he moves well. It's pretty incredible to grow that fast. You know, he's got to be, what, 16?
Sure.
To grow that fast but still be, you know, fairly nimble for that size is hard to do, and that's why all the Power 5s are calling.
You bet. Last one before we let you go. You guys want to check out, too, a great Twitter feed, Kevin_Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E. Great stuff. Great information on CSU stuff. We're not going to get there today, but let's leave you with this one. Poudre Mountain Vista, new coach in. The funny thing is that if you go down the staff, it still says Rich Yonkers on the staff. Rich can't seem to move himself away from Poudre. But Eric Tonkin, a new head coach out at Poudre off of an 0-6 year, might be a good place for a new coach to come in and start. What do you know about Eric?
Yeah, definitely. And Yonker, actually, this qualifies as breaking news. He is not coaching football for first time in, I think, 45 years.
Okay.
He said he's even going to do some vacations in the fall.
How about
which
that?
Which is crazy. But, yeah, Yonker's amazing. I know he was, you know, he kind of helped in the search and everything because he has all the institutional knowledge. But yeah, Tonkin is a guy, a Pooter grad. He's familiar with the area. He was actually a college coach and actually kind of recruited Northern Colorado. He's a couple guys that he recruited are off at colleges that he was at. So that's kind of a fun little side note. And he, you know, he's a new coach. He's even admitted, like, yeah, I don't know my team as well as I would like, but I think they're going to be kind of typical Pooter. They're going to be scrappy. They have some good skill guys, and they're going to be tough to play against. And, you know, I think it's one of those we'll need to give it a, you know, into year two to see truly what Tonkin's true style will be, because, you know, year one you kind of have to mesh with the guys you have and see how it works out. But yeah, he's a guy really excited, you know, a Pooter guy, and Pooter, you know, that's what Pooter tends to do. They like, you know, keeping the family with people that have that pride in the school, and he's a guy that I think will carry that, and they're pretty excited about what they can do.
Kevin, what are you working on, man? What's going on down at the paper right now?
There's a lot. As you mentioned, everything's getting going. I've been out at a few different events. Saw some softball this week, seeing some cross country tomorrow. We got football starting next week, and then CSU stuff as well. They have a scrimmage tomorrow as well, so I'll be out there as well. So I'm everywhere.
You are. You simply are everywhere, and you know everything, man. Thank you so much for jumping on with us.
Yeah, great talking to you as always, Clark.
All right, there's Kevin Lytle, man. You want a great Twitter feed, you got to jump on his site. Kevin_Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, does a great job. So the cool thing is this year we're going to be surrounded by some great writers as we get all of the information, all of the scores and the updates, and then, of course, all the stories from the writers about Fort Collins area football, Loveland area football, and, of course, Weld County. In the Fort Collins area, of course, it'll be Kevin Lytle, and then you've got Eddie Herz over in the Loveland area. Eddie kind of looks at five schools, the three Loveland schools, Berthoud and Rez. And then, of course, Bobby Fernandez out here taking care of business for all the Weld County schools. So thank you again to Gould Parts, our great sponsor of Preps Rewind. They've been with us forever, Alan Gould and his great staff. Tatanka Grill, the folks out there, boy, you want great food on the road, restaurant-style kitchen right there. At the Kramer's Wedge store, they've got you covered at the U Phillips and Greeley and Eaton as well. It is Tatanka Grill. Can't tell you how great they are. Could be a standalone restaurant by themselves. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, final 3 days of 13 days, 13 teams, Fossil Ridge, Fort Collins, Res Christian, coming up on the airwaves. Have a great Saturday. Hug your kids, and we'll talk to you soon. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.